goes on for so long, eventually it becomes impossible to sustain it. And for people who can understand it, the derivative market, ultimately, because of these failures to implement proper systems, what they were creating was some kind of distorted matrix out there, which has grown over time and over time, year after year, with further distortions, further inaccuracies, and then eventually it's going to come crashing down. It has done, and it's such a mess, nobody can resolve it. The simple solution, the obvious solution, let it go.
Yeah, let the whole system go and forgive all debt. Now, I've got to tell you that during the 90s and into these last 8 years of this new millennium, we've got companies like Rothschild-backed Veolia. Now, I want to go into this because somebody sent me a photograph from Sweden of a bus company that in their local city. It's a city of 50, 60,000 people. And on the back of the bus, of course, the name of the town and everything, I won't give it out, but at the bottom of the bus it says Veolia Company. Now, the bus company in this city is run by Veolia. Now, in my neighborhood here out in the middle of nowhere in France, my water company is owned by Veolia. If you drive down to the city about 80 kilometers from me, a big city, 150,000, all the rubbish is picked up by Veolia. If you go over to Britain, they've got consoles that have turned over there. Rubbish pickup to Veolia, and they're not doing it anymore. So my point is, and guess who owns Veolia? Rothschild. Now this guy went out into municipalities all over Europe and has been buying the rights of real services that are going to have to be paid by every one of us into their coffers. This is what they were doing with this funny money the whole time. They were pumping it up, they were siphoning it off, and they were using it to put into hard assets so that when the new system has to ultimately be implemented, they still got all the values. They got all the water systems. They got all the rubbish pickup. You don't get on a bus without paying them. You don't flush your toilet without them getting a profit from it. And they're also behind the carbon tax, so you can't even take a breath anymore without paying them.
Absolutely, Darrell. These people have put themselves in a situation. You know, we listen to our governments, members of our government talk about, you know, their concern for the environment and depleting natural resources and being environmentally friendly and living in a sustainable fashion, all these lovely buzzwords. And then we find that legislation's being enacted throughout the whole of Europe that says that if you have a well on your own property, it's illegal for you to withdraw water from it, and you now have to take water from Veolia or one of their service companies. I mean, it wouldn't be so bad if they were just taking it over and the people who had some level of independence kept it. But these people are changing the laws across the whole of the European state.
Yep.
Force people into dependency on these companies which they've now got private ownership of. I make the point, Darrell, we have Veolia collecting our rubbish here. It's not collected any better than it was before. We put it out the door, it goes. Nothing's changed except that my council tax is higher than it used to be because it has to cover the profit margin of Veolia.
That's right.
The rubbish was collected for cost, whatever the cost of putting it together was. Now it's got Veolia's profits in there.
Well, not only does it have that, but what you've got also given them is an across-the-board micromanageable control over whole publics. If they've, like here, they've got my water. They've got it. You know, in America, Brown and Ferris, a company that was hauling rubbish, they're across all the United States. They're very, very, very close to this, to the Rothschild fortune. They're a co-company with Veolia. Veolia is running all the water systems in 70% of the cities, major cities in America. And of course, you're exactly right. Now they want a meter. You see what they do? What they're doing? They let you take water out of your own well, but they're going to charge you for it. Yeah, charge you to take water out of your own well. Now, you know, in France, water rights go with the property if the property has that written into its original contract. I have a piece of property with an old beat-up farmhouse on it, and the water that's under the building is supposed to be my water, and I can use it for whatever reason I want. That you're exactly right. They're changing that. That water, they're saying, because it bleeds out past my my border of my property is also the property of the of someone else. So now you have to meter it, and I have to pay somebody to take my own water. This is madness. And of course, but you see, Muhammad, what they did over the time of building this bubble, they were siphoning huge sums. Now, the timber industry is owned by them. The all of the gold. You and I both know about what they've been doing in the juniors out of Canada, junior gold mining. They have been shorting the businesses and then scooping them up like nobody's business at prices that are below what these companies have on their balance sheet for cash. Well, you tell them that you got to tell these people the story about that company. I mean, I looked into it after I was dumbstruck by it. The one where they got more money in cash in their balance sheet than the price of the stock, Bob.
Oh, indeed, yes. Redcorp Ventures. We have a situation there, symbol on the TSX exchange, if anybody wishes to go and look at this story, RDV. We see that Redcorp Ventures have very good gold resources in the ground. It's all been published and done with the official stock exchange numbers. And the company has agreed to buy their gold for the next, I think, 7 years, isn't it, Darryl?
Yep.
At $400 an ounce guaranteed, plus an upfront check for $90 million. So they've given them a check which is going in the bank for $90 million cash, and they're guaranteed $400 on every ounce they pull out the ground thereafter. The current value of the company, I think, is something like $40, $42 million. The company's valued at half the value of the check that they were given 2 months ago. And I actually rang them up, you know, Darryl, and spoke to the guy who does the public relations on the part of the company, and I said, what's going on? He said, we haven't got a clue. He said, I really don't understand it. This company is worth $500 to $800 million easily, and there's nothing we can do about it. These guys on the exchange just keep writing the value of our stock down. Nothing we can do.
Well, they did it with Aurelian, and now Aurelian's delisted, and they've stolen the company, I think it was 55 or 60 Canadian dollars per ounce of gold in the ground, when everybody knows that gold is at 900, and the gold that they have a gold discovery, that surface gold, I mean, it's such a rich vein of gold that they discovered that they could pick it up with a bulldozer and just throw it into their crushers, and it's an enormous amounts of gold come out.
The interesting thing about Redcorp Ventures, of course, what RDV tells us, Darryl, is that an acceptable price for wholesale price for gold for manufacturing for companies mining and excavating is $400 an ounce plus an upfront lump. Had that been the case for Aurelian, it would have sold not at $50 an ounce but at $400 an ounce just on that one field. Just on that one strike.
And there's 95,000 hectares of land undiscovered and a western fault full of gold that they know is sitting there. What we're talking about here, Muhammad, is absolute fraud and theft.
So, total. That company should have sold for 8 times. It sold for $1 billion. It should have sold for $8 billion. The shareholders got $8 a share. They should be getting $40 a share. That's at trade wholesale prices. That's not at $800 or $900 an ounce, Darryl. That's at the mine head price, $400 an ounce.
Well, see, so what we know is that kleptocracy and crime are the rule, not the exception today. And we see it in our politics. We see it in everything. This can't go on. See, people can't live in an environment like this for long without something giving. Something has to give way, Muhammad. What do you think is going to give way first? I mean, are these criminals going to finally be satiated, or are the people going to be sick of it, or are they going to hammer down on us with martial law? Are we going to starve to death? Are they going to poison us? What the hell are these people going to do to us next? Because they can't sustain this level of kleptocracy and nonsense that I'm watching. It can't keep going.
Well, Darryl, so that people understand that it can't keep going, it is a very, very simple point I'm going to make here. We could not have built the world in the West on these kind of values.
No.
What we have today was built on a completely different value set. And that value set is what created the wealth and the benefit that everybody enjoys today. With the current value set that's taken hold in society and behind society through this criminal gang who've taken over everything, it can only ever lead to what you see under those circumstances. The type of society that historically has been ruled by this value set, a good example would be, say, the Vikings. The Vikings lived along this, which was, you know, well, I've got a very big axe, so that's now my gold field. If anybody'd like to argue about it, you can argue with my two friends here who've also got very large axes.
Yeah.
You know, when society becomes, you know, slightly lower intellectually and spiritually than that of an oyster, you're not going to have a society which will last. It's going to lose all concept of civilization. And you only look in the history books at the end of empires, always show how empires implode, and they always implode when these kind of values step in. The problem is what you raised earlier, Darrell. In the last 30 years, things have accelerated and taken on dimensions and proportions that were unimaginable 30 years ago.
That's right. That's right. And somebody said to me, when we put the computer in the hands of these people, and then started buying off politicians with PAC money to get them to write laws that allowed theft, and you mix the computer with the ability to steal, and these people just went cuckoo with it. And I got to tell you, I have to agree with a lot of that. You know, this is somebody's postulation that I read. But where we are today, Muhammad, is we're in line for some terrible suffering. I don't know how to ameliorate it for even my own family here. Of course, I'm struggling. You're struggling. There's not a person that's going to be unscathed in this mess. I get on this show and think about, geez, my family's going down the drain too, and I'm freaked out by it all, dude. I just don't know what to make of it. It's, you know, I do the shows in South Africa, and I do these shows here, and I'm just waiting for the jackboot guys to do a Tobin on me after they get him in the airport in London. I'm thinking I'm going to get Tobined, you know? I don't know, man. It's madness. What do you think? Where do you think we're going to be in a year or two?
Well, we have a situation now where the amount of time they're buying with each intervention gets shorter and its effectiveness is smaller. We're at the point where they're using the real economy to prop up this mirage. They're destroying the real economy. People are working hard to create that gross domestic product in the United States and over here. There are construction workers, street cleaners, sewers, bakers, whatever they're doing, that are actually producing real things, not fictional things like these bankers. And they're all about to lose, Darrell. They're all about to lose terribly, because anyone who's borrowed is basically facing disaster. In terms of these bank guarantees that everybody keeps harping on about, well, this was a lot of speech in order to try and engender confidence in people. When it actually comes to paying out, we had the central government for Iceland, only a small economy.
Yeah.
But three major banks, as far as Iceland's concerned, Darrell. The third biggest bank, we discovered, went from being insolvent to bankrupt. We've explained the difference about that previously. There's a legal difference only.
Yep.
Somebody takes action. They've become insolvent and were more or less bankrupt. And in September the 6th, in fact, the Icelandic government passed legislation to say, we will nationalise any bank that's in trouble and we will guarantee depositors' money. What, of course, that did is that made everybody relax and think, hey, fantastic. And this brings us now down to the value set of the people that we're dealing with. Here on the French Connection, we've tried to warn people that the people in control of our governments today are not like the people of yesterday. They are blatant, outright criminals. Lying is easier to them than breathing.
That's right.
So now we discover that actually, as of today, the government of Iceland has, after announcing yesterday that it was nationalising Glitnir Bank, the third largest bank, and guaranteeing the deposits there, not Icesave, don't confuse this with Icesave, they'd already said they were letting Icesave hit the wall, I think it's £4.5 billion across 300,000 people there is lost. They now have to stand in line to claim that money back, which is pretty unlikely in my opinion that they'll see it, and the reason is as follows. Glitnir Bank today, the government turnaround of Iceland, said actually we didn't realise how big the debts of this bank were.
And we can't back it.
We can't afford to buy it out, so we're not going to. We're letting it go bankrupt.
Well, I just watched the Bloomberg British, Bloomberg on my satellite. And they just got done saying that the British government's going to sue them for the money. That's like going down to the Bowery, finding some homeless guy and saying, "I'm suing you for $1 million." The homeless guy says to you, "Oh, all right, yeah, okay. Here's my name. See how far you get with that." I mean, where are you going to get money from? You can't suck blood out of a stone, Mohammed. There's no money there. The whole place is toast.
Well, of course, the government said that it has, the British government's just trying to do that to make it look like it can take some action. Of course, it can't take some action because there was no legal obligation. And here's the crux. Here's what's crucial here. For all the words these people are coming out with, Darryl, there's no legal obligation for them to do it. They just enacted laws which gave them the ability to do it. It doesn't mean they're obligated to do this at all.
Yep.
They're not obligated to buy anybody back. They're not obligated to guarantee any deposit. What they've just done recently, and everybody's got to understand this listening out there, they've only passed laws which authorize them to do it. It's not a command, it's not an obligation. And at the first time a government faced a bill that was bigger than the value of the government turned around and said no. We can't afford this. All it takes is one of the banks in the UK that's leveraged 600 or 800 times to one against its deposits to turn around and say, well, you know, you've got to bail us out now, it's £4.2 trillion. The British government will say, well, that's more than the gross national product for the next 4.5 years. We can't afford to do that. And then Iceland will turn around to the government and say, well, we're going to sue you for not honouring your obligation.
It's like, good luck. I'm telling you, it's like trying to get a homeless guy to pay $1 million. I'm looking at Royal Bank of Scotland today. Of course, you know, when they came up with this rescue plan in Britain, and Brown and Darling got up there and said, oh, we're going to take care of this. We would head on and all blah blah blah. This guy Darling, you know, he's a real darling, all right. Well, the problem is with this whole thing is that they are already insolvent. So what you're doing is, again, you know, some people have used this analogy. They're putting lipstick on a pig. You know, and how long do you think it's going to take for the lips of that pig to smack off all the lipstick, and what you're left with is a pig? It's not going to get fixed. It's not going to transform it into a fashion model on a runway.
Well, of course, spray some perfume on it, and we might be able to sell it as a rose. And
Well, I'm sure that's the next attempt they're going to make. You know, I don't know where this is going except into a pit. It looks to me like every government in Europe and North America is ultimately going to have to start fighting with their own public. That's what's going to happen next. There's going to be mayhem from this. You can't stop. You know, if I go to my ATM machine and the thing doesn't spit out any money and I got no food in my house, that'll only work for me for a couple of times. Within a week or so, if I haven't had any decent meals to eat and things have gone bad for me, I'm going to get mighty angry there, Mohammed.
Well, of course, the real economy now is under threat. The real economy of the world is now under threat. The sad news is that these people, we gave them a year to sort it out. all that's happened under their shift is that they bought time. In buying time, they're actually making things worse. Why? Because they're buying time with the real economy. So rather than actually just letting it fall, they're destroying the real world out there as well. How bad will it get? Well, Darryl, if they match the 15% again and they increase by another 15% and we get a 50% inflation on the money supply, then the real rate of inflation out there, of course, is 50%. Like you said, Darryl, there is a lag. These things historically take 3 to 6 months, and there's other things which distort it, especially calculating. I think one of the best ways of distorting anything these days is to calculate it, because these people still seem to have inflation at 1% a month, or, you know, 1.8 something or other per annum, or just numbers that don't seem to be attached to anything that I see, Darryl. I saw petrol go up by a ridiculous amount. I saw oil go up from $80 to $140 a barrel, and I was being told that inflation is still only 2.5% per annum.
Well, you know, Mohammed, right now, okay, in America, George Bush on the 1st of October. Transferred himself $100 billion American dollars into his personal control. And I mentioned this to you in our private call before we got on air here. And the only reason I could think of that he would have that kind of capital to use would be for his Blackwater crew, or DynCorp crew, or some of these other Israeli criminal groups that are going to come in and start actually acting nasty in the real world. And because these people are not going to allow the plebiscite, the peons, the sheeple, to rise up against the wolf masters, and they've paid handsomely these mercenaries, and it looks like they're probably going to be truck loading some million-dollar payments to these crooks sometime soon here. So I don't know what you've been seeing, but that to me, $100 billion of his personal money to use. And then all of a sudden, other people starting to say that behind closed doors, martial law has already been implemented, and it's just a matter now of them actually getting it off the ground.
We've appealed, you know, on several occasions, Darryl, to members of the intelligence services, who are supposed to be a bit better educated than most people out there and supposed to be able to work these things out. They've completely failed to get rid of these criminals, and have actually allowed these criminals to destroy the real world. They themselves are now facing a future for their own families, which are and for, you know, for their descendants, which are going to be up to their necks in misery for decades to come as people try to work their way out of this. By the time this is fully played out, I saw quotes, you know, by people, very desperate-looking fund managers, one at Rochester Asset Management, and he was quoted today, Darryl, as saying that, you know, we're just beginning to realize that this whole debacle is going far deeper and far, far further out into the future than we ever realized or wanted to imagine.
Well, you know, there was a time in the ancient past here where a very sophisticated society was undermined, it collapsed, and we didn't regain the quality of that society for 600 years.
Absolutely.
You know, we had the Dark Ages that hit us. I mean, come on, we could be going into a period. Now this is where I want to get people's mind focused on what we can do now. What we have to start doing is relying on networks of people in the plebiscite. We got to start looking at how we can use this opportunity to do something to build a future for all of us that can eliminate the participation of these criminals. How it can be done, you know, my guess is that except for the jackbooted crooks and their limited leadership, all the people with money are heading for some palm tree places or something. I mean, they're not going to stick around and watch America turn into a huge cesspit. They're going to go off and be somewhere else and sit on yachts. And I saw this, Mohammed, up 15% this year. Luxury automobiles of the type like the Aston Martin and above, 15% increase this year.
Well, that would explain where the money's gone.
Yeah, That does explain it, doesn't it? And the rest of us are going to be down in the pit here, slugging it out in the mud. But you know, sometimes out of the dust, and when it settles, maybe we could come up victors somehow. I don't know. You know, there's no telling. In a fist fight, you know, when it gets onto the ground, you don't know if it's the little guy that's going to come up the victor. You don't know. So, you know, we took down maybe the Goliath here, and maybe as we're rolling around in the mud, it's the small guy that's going to come up the winner. But I can't see how, but I'm hoping.
Well, it's a bit more difficult for the small guy rolling around in the mud when there's half a dozen guys sat in a very large Suburban with the air conditioning on, holding high-power rifles, waiting to see who emerges, just so they can claim the bet off the other guys in the car. You know, I mean, it's the way it's looking to me. You know, there's just so much cynicism out there, and, you know, we've just lost so much of the good values. And if people don't make a stand and don't fight for those values and say that they, you know, they want to live in a society that actually upholds things, you know, those guys, I said this before, Dal, you know, we read some of the wonderful statements by early leaders in America.
Yeah.
And that wasn't politics. They actually really believed those things.
Yeah.
And they really wanted to live by them. And we would hope that there are people out there who still believe in those kind of values. Patriots, ironically enough, there should be a proper patriotic act in the United States where crooks like Bush, who said the Constitution is only a piece of paper, and is written in to law $700 billion that didn't exist previously, to give to his mates in the banks, not to give to American children.